In further reading of God's Word, we turn to two of Paul's letters. First of all, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and then we will turn to Romans chapter 13 for our text. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we will read together the first 11 verses. The sermons I hope to bring to you this Lord's Day are sermons preached last Lord's Day in Vineland, the first day of the new year. So in a certain way, they're New Year sermons, New Year Day sermons. 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning at verse 1, this is the word of the Lord. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. So far from 1 Thessalonians, and turning back to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And we will read verse 11 through verse 14, with our text beginning partway through verse 12. And Paul is bringing a whole series of directions and exhortations to Christian living to a close and even to a climax, and that's what he's referring to when he says, and do this. All the things written in chapters 12 and 13 especially. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. And here's where our text begins. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, my New Year's Eve sermon was on Romans 13, verse 11 and 12, the first part, where the Apostle Paul calls the Roman Christians to wake up, and to wake up in view of the fact that our salvation, the day of our salvation, is always nearer and nearer. Notice how Paul says that in verse 11, now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And then he goes on to say, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. And so what Paul would have the Roman Christians face is the fact that they could be sleeping, spiritually and morally sleeping. And in view of that, he calls them to wake up, and to make sure to be living awake. It is high time to awake out of sleep. So that's the first part of the passage, verse 11 and 12. In our text, and what is our focus for this morning, Paul goes on to lay out in detail what it means to be awake and how to live awake in this world in view of the coming day and the glory that is approaching. And that's verse 12, the second part, through verse 14. Listen again as I read those verses from the Apostle Paul, as he is inspired by the Holy Spirit. He says, "Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." So that's the text. And what it is really is direction on living awake. It is direction on living awake. We can learn, in other words, how to live as awake believers this new year and beyond. So our theme is simply living awake in 2017, living awake in 2017 and beyond. 3 points. First of all, living awake actively so. Actively so. And actively, because notice how Paul calls us to action. "Let us cast off the works of darkness," he says. "Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day." And verse 14, "Let us put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and let us make no provision for the flesh." So Paul is saying, here's what we are to do. And the point is, we are to be active. We are to be actively awake. In fact, the imagery in the text throughout is very much along the lines of getting undressed and getting redressed. It's like when we change from our pajamas, say, to our clothes for the day. Cast off the pajamas, put on the uniform or the suit or the work clothes or whatever it is. And we'll come to the details in a moment. But the point for now is to accent the activity that's involved and the fact that Paul is saying this is something we are to do. So can I ask you, do you think of your spiritual life, of your life before God? Do you think of it in terms of something for which you are responsible? You are responsible for your spiritual life and for the quality of your spiritual life. Is that not what Paul is saying here throughout this passage? No, he is not denying, of course, the grace of God and our dependence on the Holy Spirit. Of course, that is true, and Paul, many places, teaches that. But what can sometimes happen is that we so stress the grace of God, and we so stress the fact that we cannot work for our salvation. We can so stress these vital points that in the process we forget that to be saved means also to be set free and enabled to serve the Lord. Or to say it another way, if we have received the Holy Spirit, which all Christians do, the Holy Spirit is a vital part of salvation and is even in a way the crowning gift of salvation. We don't simply get pardoned and peace with God, but we get power. "You shall receive power," the Lord Jesus told his disciples. And that is through the Holy Spirit who lives in us, and his work is to make us active. And his aim is to stir us up, and the fruit of the Spirit is our obedience. And we ought to remember that. And so also to realize that to be a Christian and to be an awake Christian means for sure to be an active Christian, actively obedient, actively serving the Lord God. How did Paul put it to the Philippians one time? Remember when he said, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling"? That's like our text. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day. Let us put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us make no provision for the flesh. How important to register this point of activity. Because, you know, the Christian life doesn't simply happen to us. We are to live it. Holiness is not an experience so much as it is an exercise, a duty, a calling. It's to be the commitment of every believer's heart and life. And so again, the question regarding responsibility, are you an active? Are you an active Christian? Are you involved in your Christian confession and in your walk of life? Do you take ownership for what you believe and for the way you behave? Are you personally involved and invested in the condition of your faith and in your adorning that faith or not? And are you resolved daily, specifically, faithfully, resolved to look in faith to Christ and to be obedient to His word and will? What about, for example, being deliberate and intentional when it comes to devotional practices, making time in your life for God's word, for prayer, for meditation? If that's not happening yet with you, Paul would call you to it. He is teaching an active Christianity. Same with putting away sin in your life and striving to imitate the Savior. God does not do that for us. We'll get to some specifics in a moment, but let's realize still for now that Paul is saying we are responsible. We are to be engaged. This is our fight. It's to be the great commitment of our life as we live before God. Is this not especially the point of the text with its emphasis on holiness and on being like unto Christ? It is about shining clearly and brightly in this world. And the point is that's on us. That's on you and me. We are to do it. We are to be focused on it, giving ourselves wholeheartedly, most earnestly to it. And if we don't, then Paul is saying we must still be sleeping. We must not be awake. Is that not how it goes in physical life too? If we are in bed and the morning is coming and it's time to get up, the alarm clock rings and maybe we've hit the snooze button numbers of times, well, you know, no one's getting up for us. If we don't get up and go out into the day, we'll be in bed all day still, dozy and sleeping and doing nothing at all. And so also in spiritual life. Well, is this not a point to feel this morning as the celebrations of this special time of year wrap up and as real life begins again, and especially in view of what God is doing throughout history and bringing His great day of salvation to this world and to His people? Are we awake? And are we showing that also through active Christian faith and obedience? Well, that's the first point that Paul is making. Living awake, actively so. But something else in the text, and what's even especially the emphasis, is on being evidently awake. Living as awake believers, evidently so. Let's pay a special attention to the particulars here. Like, for example, when Paul says, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. So keeping in mind here again the imagery of changing our clothes, taking off our night clothes and putting on our day clothes. That's the overall imagery that Paul is making use of. But notice the details. Notice that we're to cast off the works of darkness and we're to put on the armor of light. So Paul is drawing this great contrast, works and armor, darkness and light. If we are sleeping, if believers are sleeping, what that means is that they are living unholy, ungodly lives. They are letting themselves participate in sin. They are wearing the clothes of evil, of darkness, of wickedness. But how different when we are awake. Because for one thing, we are not wearing mere works. No, we are wearing armor. Paul writes about armor. And what that signals is that believers who are awake dress. How do they dress? They dress for war. Because believers realize they are in a fight. And so awake believers put on the armor that God provides. They live daily with that armor all around them because they understand that all our life long God calls us to wrestle, to fight, to stand against, to be engaged in holy spiritual warfare. And the enemy, of course, is not mere flesh and blood, not ultimately flesh and blood. No, the enemy, as Scripture tells us, is the evil one. Together with all his forces, principalities and powers, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, beings whom we cannot see, but who are no less real, and who are arrayed in battle formation against the church and against the people of God. And we should never forget that they are dangerous, and that they are slippery, and that they are relentless. And the constant call of God to his people is to stand and to fight armed. And awake believers understand that. They live with that awareness. They seek to nurture that spirit, that understanding, and actively so. And so what they do is don the armor that God gives us. We can think of the many pieces Paul mentions in Ephesians, and you know something about that. And Christians wear that armor, and it's clear, it's evident, because that armor is really the Lord and his word and his spirit and his holiness and his truth and his righteousness. And awake believers, they show they're wearing that by holding fast to the living God, and by being deep into his word, and by being filled with his spirit, and by radiating his holiness. And it's all evident. It's all something you can see. Yes, it must be so, because Paul describes it here in our text as the armor of light. In other words, you cannot wear it and not be noticed, just in terms of it being so different from the darkness that prevails all across the face of the world. Light can help be noticed, how it shines and how it warms, and what a blessing it is. Awake believers then are evidently awake. And notice how, with the next two verses, Paul really drives this point home, because he says in verse 13, let us walk properly as in the day. In other words, let it be so clear from your overall life that you are not sleeping. In other words, not caught up in the works of darkness. No, you are awake. You are living as if it's day. You are walking properly or decently or modestly. Just like, for example, we don't wear our pajamas to work or to school. At least most times we don't. Over at the school where our children go, Heritage Christian School, every once in a while they have this thing called Pajama Day. And I'm ever so thankful that I'm not a child anymore, because I do not relish the idea of wearing my pajamas to work or to school. The kids think it's fun. But most of us who are grown, we understand that's not the way life works. Imagine your boss saying, today you can come in your pajamas. Impossible. If you did, he'd send you home and say, get changed. We're working here. Reflect that in your dress. But so much the more if it's just about day. The day of salvation, if God's great glory in Christ returning with all that that means is just about here, then let's not be wearing the clothes that belong to the darkness. Let's not be wearing those dark sin and evil deeds that defined us and described us when we lived apart from Christ. No, let's be ready to greet the day. Let us be walking properly and decently. Let us, with our life, show that we are ready for that coming. Now maybe you are thinking, all right, Pastor, we get the point, but can you be specific? And yes, we can, because especially Paul here is very specific and very practical. And let's notice what he says. He says, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Now we should understand that Paul is not being exhaustive here. He could say many more things, and elsewhere he does. But he says enough here to keep us occupied this morning and reflecting. If we are awake, if we are walking properly as in the day, then we will not walk in revelry and drunkenness. What's that mean? It means we will not participate in wild parties and drunkenness. We could include here all sorts of substance abuse, even abuse of food and, of course, abuse of drugs as well, as is so common today. Paul forbids all self-indulgence, all reckless, out-of-control behavior, all addiction to anything and anyone apart from the living God. If we are walking in the light, not in the darkness, then Paul says we will have nothing to do with any of that. Now you may be thinking to yourself, Pastor, we don't do this. I mean, that's Paul can say this, but we're cultured, reformed people who know better, who don't do that sort of thing. But that's easy to say. What about the fact that this whole world, as we know it, is all into it? I mean, for how many in this world, it's not a party if there isn't alcohol? And it's not a great party if there isn't plenty. And maybe it's a temptation sometimes for our young people, especially when you go off to college or university. And even with us older ones, what about our gatherings, for example, where alcohol is served, where we enjoy the good gifts of God, which we may. But is it always in moderation? Or can it happen also with us that, well, it doesn't even have to be a party. It can be in our own homes privately. But does our use of alcohol, does our use of the good things of this world reflect that we understand that this world is passing away and that we are called to live in self-control? Or could it happen that in this past season, maybe even in this past week, in some of the get-togethers that you were a part of, the darkness overcame the light, and you reflected not that you're awake, but that you're sleeping. You're sleeping. Paul would say, no, don't do that. Turn from it. Notice the second specific detail he mentions, not in lewdness and lust, which simply means not in sexual sin. That kind of living does not belong to the light. It does not fit with those who are awake. Isn't this a point to take very seriously, especially in our day? Of course, it's been true in every generation since sin entered the world, but think how common sexual sin is. Everything from affairs to common law to great perversions to pornography, adultery and fornication, whether acted out or simply occurring within our own mind and heart, all of it comes under this heading of lewdness and lust, and all of it marks our day to the extreme. In fact, as we know, we well know, the last 50 years or so have seen a sexual revolution as a culture. We are living at a time when all the old norms are pretty much gone. All the biblical standards have been wiped out or are in the process of being wiped out. And the reigning idea is every man for himself. Get what you can, whatever it is. And really, there are hardly any consequences. And how many are part of it? How many are involved in it so freely? And how also this occurs not simply in real, but in virtual reality over the screen? And how much of it is a part of mainstream life? Paul is saying, if we are awake, we will have nothing to do with it. And that will be evident in our conversations. That will be evident in our relationships. That will be evident in our thought patterns. That will be evident in our playlist on our iPods or iPhones or whatever. It will be evident in the movies we take in or the TV shows that we watch. We are walking properly, decently, not as in the night, but in the day, and therefore not in lewdness and lust. If that's you, it will be clear, won't it? Clear, because you will be set apart from the mass of people who live still in the darkness. Notice one more detail that Paul mentions. He says, not in strife and envy. If we are living properly, walking properly, awake as believers, then it will show in us living not in strife and envy. Now, this almost comes as a surprise, doesn't it? Because Paul mentions revelry and drunkenness and lewdness and lust, sort of great sins, we might think of them that way. And you may hear him and say, well, in view of what he says, I'm doing pretty well. I don't get drunk. I'm faithful in my marriage. I don't visit those X-rated sites on the internet. And of course, that's good and that's right. But What about this one? Not in strife and envy. In other words, not in unnecessary arguing and fighting. Not in promoting needless friction and division and animosity and tension and more. Not doing any of that in our marriages, in our families, with our friends, at work, at school, in the church. Not being difficult and obnoxious. And not resenting either what others have and sinfully wanting all of their blessings for ourselves. No, not living so discontentedly and so covetously, but living in peace and at rest. Who cannot help but feel the challenge at this point, if we have not felt it earlier, certainly at this point. Because how easy it is to be an agitator and not a peacemaker. And how easy it is to give way to a spirit of envy, if only in the secret place of our own heart. How easy it is to do these things and how easy it is to excuse them and not to feel the sinfulness of them and not to recognize that they are really part of the darkness of this world. And that whenever we engage or indulge in them, we are really going to sleep. Spiritually speaking, we are not actively and evidently awake. We simply cannot be. I wonder if this is a point of conviction for anyone here this morning. Is there anyone living with a, let's say, a fighting spirit? Is there anyone letting discontent or envy rule your heart? You know, if that's you, then what's that say about you? It says your head's on your pillow, your eyes are closed, and you're asleep. And what's God's call to you? It's to wake up. It's to cast those things away. It's to recognize they are works of darkness and to say, I am finished with them. Evidently awake. And let's notice that Paul presents this to us not only in terms of the negative, but see too how richly Paul brings here in the positive. Because he says in verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Take notice of all those names for the Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the Savior in all His glory as appointed and anointed mediator and deliverer. Him whom we may know as our prophet, our priest, and our king, the great God and Savior. And Paul's point here to us so wonderfully is that we don't only get to trust Him, we get to wear Him. Put on, Paul says, the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, wear Him. Of course, what's that mean? How do we wear the Savior? Interestingly, Paul writes in a similar way over in Galatians 3. Verse 27, Paul writes there very similarly, only in that passage he is describing not what we're to do as Christians, but what has happened to us in becoming Christians. He says in that text, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. In other words, Paul is teaching there that in coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in coming to faith and in confessing that, what has happened in effect is that we have been given this new set of clothes to wear. God has clothed us with Christ. And we have gotten to wear Him. And what Paul is bringing out here is that faith in Christ is not something simply mental, but faith in Christ is a spiritual gift, a spiritual grace that unites us in a personal, in a tangible way to the living Savior. It makes us one with Him. We believe into Him. And through His Spirit, He enters into us. And therefore, what a connection, what a relationship to be a Christian, to be a follower of Christ, and even to get to walk through life clothed in Him. So Paul writes this way to get at the heart of, or to describe something of the richness of what it means to be a Christian. But now in our text, writing about putting on the Lord Jesus Christ and doing that as believers, what Paul is calling for really is a deliberate, steadfast working out of what it means to wear Christ, what it means to believe in Him, what it means to follow Him. It means actively, evidently to wear Him. He doesn't simply bring us peace and give us power. He becomes the pattern we are to follow. And the point is that all our life we are to be so fixated and focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. All our life we are to seek to be mesmerized by His beauty and glory, so happy in His salvation, so at rest in His arms and in His care, so delighted at having His Spirit live within us. The Spirit of the Savior live within us, therefore being so eager now also to please this Savior Christ and to be one and to want to be like Him. He's to fill our mind and heart. He's to be everything to us. In every moment we are to trust Him and to depend on Him and to follow Him and to serve Him and to be like Him, reflecting His Spirit, reflecting His holiness, reflecting His passion, and reflecting His beauty. And think back to the overall point now. When that's us, when we are so casting off darkness and putting on light and walking properly and not doing all those things Paul mentions, and above all, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, how evident that becomes, how obvious that we're awake. Just like you can tell when someone's awake or not in life, so you can tell when someone's awake or not in Christ. Over time, and more so, it becomes very clear. So we face the question, is it so in your life? Is it so in my life? Is that something you care about? Is that something you are seeking to be evidently awake? Not simply a believer, but an awake believer. Is this not the way to live this new year, 2017, to live our whole life actively, evidently awake? Well, one more point as we finish. Fairly brief. We make it because Paul makes it. Living awake in 2017, not only actively and evidently, but notice how Paul brings out thoroughly so. Thoroughly so. You can come to the breakfast table and you can be wearing a hoodie, let's say, and you can hardly see your face and your eyes are half closed and mom or dad says, now come on, wake up, won't you? We're to be thoroughly awake. And notice how Paul brings that out. He says a number of things. He says, for example, we are to cast off the works of darkness. That's like getting out of the bed in the morning and jumping out of your pajamas as fast as you can and getting into your clothes because you are so excited about the day that's coming. Cast off, hurriedly, energetically, enthusiastically. I am going to wear Christ in my life. Cast off the works of darkness. Be done with them. Finish with them. Have nothing to do with them. Let there be passion in that. And then Paul says we are to walk properly, as in the day. That verb walk really is to describe the whole way we are living. It's our walk of life, as we often refer to. It's the thing that marks us from sun up till sundown, and even through the night as we're sleeping. The whole spirit of our life, we are marked by this spiritual alertness and awakeness. We are walking properly as in the day. We have our eyes on the sunrise, and we know the sun is about to come in all its fullness. And then notice, especially in verse 14, another phrase or word in this case that brings out how Paul wants us to be thoroughly awake. He says in verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. No provision. In other words, we're to say no to all our sinful fleshly thoughts, lusts and desires. If we are being awake as believers, then our commitment to that should be reflected in this. Every sin has to go. No sin may be allowed. No weakness is acceptable in our life. No lust, however small, whenever it raises its head in our heart, we are to quash it down. And we are to say, no, I'm crucifying that in Christ my Savior. Nothing is to be permitted. Paul wants his Roman Christian readers to be thoroughly awake. What do we say? Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Or we can say it like this. to follow Christ, the way the Bible teaches it, to follow Christ is an all or nothing venture. Didn't Jesus himself say one time, you can't have two masters. You can't have two masters. It's either the flesh or it's Jesus. And if it's Jesus, then it's no flesh. There can't be any secret indulgence. There can't be any little corner of your heart that no one else knows, but that you give over to yourself. If you try that, at best, you will be half awake. And more likely, you will sleep your days away, and it even becomes a question at a certain point whether or not you are really even alive. No provision. And the way this works out in spiritual life, casting off darkness, walking properly, and no provision. The way this works out in spiritual life, isn't it by coming before the Lord every day again and saying, Lord, I want my life to be an open book. Search me. See what wicked way there be in me. Purify me of all that is sinful and wrong. Help me never to hide anything from you. Help me to deny myself. And every day to take up my cross. And every day to commit to following you. Help me to discipline my body. Help me to fight to stay awake. Help me to resist the efforts of Satan to close my eyes. Help me to be alert when he comes with all his schemes and tries to pull the wool over me and make me go to sleep. Whatever it takes, Lord, let me live awake, walking properly as in the day, putting on Christ, living by faith in him, pleasing him, and looking ahead and with anticipation till that day when he will appear in all his glory to receive me and all his people to himself. Yes, remember, that's the context. Paul prefaces all of this awake stuff with saying, the day is at hand. It's at hand. And we don't know exactly when that will be. The Bible warns us not to speculate. No man knows the day. No man knows even the hour. But it could be this year, couldn't it? Or maybe next year. Or maybe still some time to come. And yet all the time it is drawing nearer and nearer and nearer. It will come. It will come. And therefore, won't you and me, won't we all live awake? Awake, awake. Or is it possible that some here still need to be even made alive? That could be too, couldn't it? You're not awake because you're not even alive spiritually. And if that is so, listen yet to the gospel and to the gospel call. You know it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Who here is not a sinner? And to all sinners, he says, look and live. Let us be those who are alive by God's grace. And let us be those then who are also awake, every day awake, all this year awake, our whole life awake, actively, evidently, thoroughly so. Is that not what the Savior is after? Will you commit to it with God's help? Well, really, do we have even a choice? This is the Word of God. And besides, how could there be any better way to live? Amen. Receive now the blessing of the Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.